pleasure to be in service with you. I'm excited about this this series that God has had me studying on and praying about for the past several weeks, and I'm very excited to get started on it today. It'll probably be a four-part series, The Mind of Christ, and today we're just going to have an introductory type of a sermon on the mind of Christ and our minds. Through this series, I pray that we all get these three things. Number one, I pray that we all realize that you can change and control your mind, your thoughts. And I want us to understand all that that entails and what is impacted in our life because of that. Because, you know, sometimes Christians get a little sketchy when they hear mind control. I get it. I'm talking about your own mind, not your spouse's. The second thing I want us to realize is that you actually must control and monitor your mind and your thoughts to successfully live a Christian life. It's necessary. And we'll go in that, we'll talk about that too. And number three, ultimately we have the mind of Christ. And we'll talk about emotions and feelings, decisions, creativity, all that, what that will impact, how that will impact your daily lives. And next Sunday, however, we will have a special speaker. My nephew, Brandon Donaldson, will be speaking to us next Sunday. He has his master's in apologetics. He's worked for Life Church for over 20 years, I think going almost 30 years now, and he's not even that old. He's been there ever since he could almost. He's one of the, I call him the grandfather of online churches, because Life Church started that, and he was the first online pastor for online churches all over the world. Great testimonies from that experience as well. And now he's one of the leaders of YouVersion. He wouldn't like it if he hears me bragging on him, so I'm going to get that out of the way today. So anyway, I'm excited about hearing Brandon speak next week, and very excited about that. So the mind, controlling the mind and our thoughts and stuff like that. Now, I feel that some of you may be saying, well, Jeff, you've been talking about this. You're kind of sneaking this topic in other sermons, and I believe I have. I get it, because I believe that we as Christians know what to say, and we know the scriptures. We've heard the scriptures, but I wonder, are we continually missing the opportunity to obey God by controlling our minds, by taking authority over the thoughts that we have? What do you think about? What do you allow to occupy your thoughts? And you have control over that. Do we, even though we know it, do we really practice it in our daily lives, or do we still catch ourselves deep into this rabbit hole, if you will, of scenarios that probably will never ever happen and will probably be negative? How does that affect our lives? How much does it matter really? Let's just do a study of the mind, biblically speaking. We live in a culture these days, I believe, that really doesn't want to control their thoughts and their minds and their decisions. The thoughts that people have are really left unchecked. And I believe that's probably why we deal a lot with drug abuse and alcohol abuse in our society, is because people want an escape from their thoughts, from their memories, from their emotions. Changing their mind control. And then, when you have deception, when you have these deceptive thoughts and these negative thoughts and anxieties and worries, if they're not kept in check and monitored, the truth begins to be blurred. And that's what we're seeing a lot today in our society. Deception has been living in people's minds for so long without any control or attempt of control that these deceptions begin to seem factual. Right? You see this on the news these days? Even though to the rest of the world it seems laughable and illogical, and yet it seems like they really believe it's true. It's just absolutely not true, right? You ever think, you just scratch your head and go, oh my goodness, how in the world can they believe that? Don't they understand? That's just not true. But they've allowed deception to live in their thoughts for so long. I believe that's one of the cases. And they begin to believe this stuff is true. And we look at the world and we like, come on, guys, please, you know, be smart about it. But when I look in the mirror and I look at the Christian culture, do I see the same thing, just a different type of worry, just a different type of deception? Do I see people, they hear the sermons, they know the scriptures, but they allow these videos, these on Facebook and YouTube and TV and these reports from actual news stations. Notice. And they begin to think about that and worry about that. I'm not talking about turn a blind eye to what's going on in our culture. I'm talking about allowing it to occupy your thoughts so much so that you now have a fleshly mind instead of a spiritual mind. So God has had me on this study about my mind, having the mind of Christ, for a couple of weeks ago. Now, I want you to notice something. This is something that we all know too, but it's weird to think about. Everything in your life is impacted by what happens in your mind or somebody else's mind. Billy Graham told a story. He was in another country and he saw this statue of the thinker. You know what the thinker, that statue, you know that? Can anybody do that? That's right. Yes, thank you. The thinker. He wasn't dressed this nice, I think, right? All right, simmer down. The thinker, but he got to thinking. When Billy Graham saw this, he got to thinking about it, and he felt like God revealed this truth to him. Everything derived from the mind of somebody. Every war, every government, every song, every book, every poem, every invention, the space shuttle, the tic-tac box, everything, every obedience, every rebellion began in someone's mind. Every emotion, every feeling begins in the mind. What is the mind, biblically speaking? What does it relate to in our lives, and is it really controllable? We first go to 1 Corinthians 2:16. We'll hit this a couple of times today. 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Everybody say that. We have the mind of Christ. Very good. What is the mind? Let's look at the definition of mind, biblically speaking. Now, I'm not going to get too technical and too in-depth on the Greek translations and things like this about the mind and what word it's translated from. I do have a list of them in my notes that you can get out in the foyer, or you can get them online on the YouVersion event page as well. If you want to do a little bit deeper study. But the reason I'm not going to go into the in-depth into some of these descriptions and definitions is because, basically speaking, most of the words that I may have a list of them up here, but most of the words mean what we would consider the mind to mean: thinking, perception, reasoning, the faculty of the mind, your thoughts, your ideas, judgment, things like that. There's actually seven words in the New Testament that's translated into the word mind. I want to give you just a couple of examples just so we all kind of get a good idea and a baseline of kind of what the Bible's talking about in those days to those people when they use this word mind. But we have the mind of Christ. This word mind comes from the Greek word nous, which is a perceiving, determining, judging. In Mark 8:33, Jesus says, when he's rebuking Peter in the garden, he says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." This comes from the Greek word phroneo. It's views or opinions or to direct one's mind to a certain thing. Of course, we're all probably familiar with Matthew 22:37. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." This mind comes from a Greek word, dianoia, which is understanding, feeling, and desire. It's actually a combination of two words, dia, which in the Greek is a preposition meaning through, and nous, which we talked about earlier, which is mind. So I know I just said I'm not going to get very technical and deep into it, and some of you are going, "You just got technical and deep into it." But I just want to kind of paint a little picture here. Most all of the words that are translated into mind and thought mean kind of what we feel like it means. Sometimes in our culture, we do separate heart knowledge and brain knowledge. In other words, emotion and regular brain knowledge. We say, "He knew better, but he followed his heart." And so we all kind of understand what that means, but that's not actually both of those categories come from the mind. Now, so the definition is kind of going to mean what we expect it to mean. So why is this study so important? Is it really a big deal? And I'm going to give you two reasons why I believe that it is, that God has been teaching me about the mind and that I need to control my thoughts better. Number one, two things here. Number one, the mind in its fallen state is at odds with God. And number two, the mind is our initial battleground. That's why this study, I believe, is so important that we understand this. Our minds are at war with God. That's kind of harsh. When I wrote that, I thought, I need a nicer way to put that. But I begin to study it, and I thought, you know what? It really is. And I've never thought of it that way, but in our fallen state, after the fall of mankind, in sin, our minds was an enemy of God's. Paul uses these words in Colossians 1:21, "Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds." Now, Paul is talking to people here who used to be Gentiles, sinners, or Jews, strict Jews, and now they were Christians in this church of Colossae. But he says their minds were not only separated from God, but actual enemies, hostile in our minds. And I begin to think about that. Notice in the Garden of Eden, the forbidden tree, do you remember that? One thing I don't want you to do, Adam and Eve, just one. Don't eat from the forbidden tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The serpent told Eve, said, "Listen, God, you don't have to listen to him because he's just jealous because he doesn't want you to know things like he does." He said, "You'll be like God, knowing good and evil." And then they hid from God. God said, Why are you hiding? And Adam said, "Well, we're naked." Who told you were naked? How did they know they were naked? Genesis 3:22. God said later, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil." started at the very beginning in our minds. Paul also writes in Romans 8, 5 through 7, "For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace." He's making it sound like we can choose, right?
Yes, that's absolutely right, Pastor Jeff.
That's what I thought. Thank you. Verse 7, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law. Get this, it's not even able to do so. Not only is it hostile toward God and cannot obey or does not obey, it can't. Paul says you don't even have the capability with the sinful mind to obey God. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But the good news is, as Christians, we are new creations. We have the ability and the option to change and control our thoughts. Ephesians 4:22. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. We have a new mind. Thankfully, our minds are no longer hostile towards God. We are a new creation. We have a new mind. We can have new thoughts, better thoughts, and we continue to monitor that right and keep it right with God. What occupies your thoughts? I want you to think about this week. What am I thinking about? What's occupying my thoughts? What am I allowing in my head? Are they hostile thoughts to God? Or are they submissive to God? Number two, the reason why this study, I believe, is important, because our minds are battleground zero. That is our initial battleground, our minds, our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:1-7. Many times we read a portion of this verse, but I want to read this whole passage here to get a good context of what Paul's talking about. He says, "Now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ." So he's not his own characteristics, but he's using Christ's characteristics here. I need to remember that, right? Anybody else with me? I need to respond to this guy, this person, with a Christ characteristic and not my own, because my own wants to... "I myself urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold toward you when absent. I ask that when I'm present, I need not be bold with the confidence with which I propose to be courageous against some who regard us as if we walked according to the flesh." People were spreading rumors about Paul that him and his cohorts were walking after the flesh. The ministry that they did, the places they went, maybe they were looking for favor, or they were looking for followers, or maybe they were changing their message just so they wouldn't hurt somebody's feelings, afraid of offending people, walking in the flesh. So then he says this, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." I may not agree with you. I may not vote like you do. I may take a different vaccine. I may not take a vaccine. I may think differently than some people in our culture, but I am not at war with them. Amen? Yeah. Just like Jesus wasn't at war with them, he loved them. Doesn't mean he agreed with them. It doesn't mean that he said, yeah, go ahead and do whatever you want. You're not going to get in trouble for that. No, you keep living that way, you might go to hell, but I'm going to love you till you get there. Right? Just like God did. I'm not. My war isn't with them. I may not vote for him, but I'm not going to fight him. Where was I? Verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. You are looking at things as they are outwardly. If anyone is confident in himself that he is Christ's, let him consider this again within himself, that just as he is Christ's, so also are we. There's a lot of layers to this little passage right here, but I want you to think about this. Paul's talking and describing a battle, right? He's talking about a battle. He mentions weapons. He mentions targets. He mentions a battlefield, or alludes to a battlefield, and he mentions enemies or prisoners of war. Let's just parse this out and look at this. Weapons, he says, they're not flesh. They're not weapons of flesh, carnal. Probably means they're weapons of spirit, the spiritual nature, amen? But he says, here's what they are for sure, divinely powerful. They're divinely powerful for the purpose of destroying fortresses. Well, here's our target. We're destroying fortresses. That's our target. Another word there, stronghold. There's actually one translation that says castle. A stronghold, a fortress, a castle. That's our target. Bless you. So, here's, he goes on to describe target because he says, divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, we are destroying. So he's going to describe one of the fortresses here, and he says speculation. A fortress or a stronghold of speculations. Imaginings. Reasons, thoughts. A fortress of thought is our target. And then he also says, also anything or idea that attempts to elevate itself above God's truth, above the knowledge of God, right? I want you to get this. I think this is fascinating. So the battlefield. Where do we find thoughts and knowledge? In our minds, right. And then look, we have captives, enemies or prisoners of war. Who in this battle becomes the captives? Every thought contrary to the word or the will of God. That's our enemy. Every thought, and we're supposed to capture them. That's the enemy. We are in a spiritual battle, and our weapons are spiritual. We're not fighting in the flesh. These spiritual weapons are powered by God. The purpose of these weapons is to destroy fortresses of thoughts. And any idea that is contrary to God's will and God's word. You catch yourself worrying about something that you heard on Facebook, check, monitor your thoughts. Does that line up with God's word, or is that trying to elevate above the knowledge of God that I have inside of me from the Holy Spirit or the Word of God? The purpose of these weapons is to destroy fortresses of thoughts and any idea contrary to His Word. I will monitor. Here's my confession. I will monitor and control what I think about and immediately throw out negative thoughts that do not line up with God's Word. I will change my thoughts to ones that reflect Christ's character because I am confident in myself that I belong to Christ. Do you belong to Christ today? I want to challenge you. This world, our culture, may reach some sketchy times. But I will not allow those worries, those fears, and those anxieties that dominate my thoughts. I'm not turning a blind eye to it. I'll do what I need to do as a citizen, but my Christianity comes first. And I will not allow those negative thoughts, those fears, those anxieties to change my attitude. And I have control of that, and you have control of that. Amen? So to summarize, we start out in this sinful state, and our mind is in opposition to God until the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And He gives us a clean slate, forgives our sins, we reconcile with the Father God, and we have a new self. We have been given spiritual tools to maintain that state of righteousness, those weapons, to control our thoughts. 2 Thessalonians 2:2. This is a challenge for us today. I want you to think about this verse. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. I will be not conformed to the world, but I will be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Colossians 3:2, I will set my mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. Let's read that together. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. We have the ability and the right, and it is important for us to change our minds. Monitor your thoughts. I know that it's easier said than done. I hope that you feel as challenged as I do today. Because there's a lot of thoughts that try to creep up on me. If I'm not careful, I've spent some time allowing fear, anxiety, or worry in my life. And it's dangerous physically, and it's dangerous spiritually. It can become a fortress of thoughts. And I want to challenge you to destroy those this week. Amen? Would you stand with me, please? Let's pray.